Right, hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of Nick and Garrett Get Serious About Jokes. I'm Nick.
And I'm Garrett.
And as always, we are here brought to you by Eastside Legal LLC. That's Eastside Legal LLC for your legal needs in the East Nashville or anywhere in the Middle Tennessee area. Feel free to call the lawyers at Eastside Legal. And I think we should just jump into it today, man. Yeah. Like we want to talk a little bit about shows that we think would be interesting to put on to host. And the way I came up with this, I was in my backyard the other day, just kind of looking at it. It was freshly mowed at the time, and I just remember thinking this would be a good place to have a show. Just have a house show, maybe have like 15, 20 chairs, have some people come through, and then do maybe about 40 to 45 minutes worth of material, and then go back to partying. I was thinking that'd be a fun thing. And then I texted you about an idea. Mm-hmm. I think you had texted me about, you know, what we wanted to do with for the show. Yeah. And then I thought about that, and so I went in that direction, like shows that we would like to see hosted or done. And for me, I was talking to you a little bit about it off the air, where it would just be great to maybe have some folks come over around 7 or so, maybe eat, have some drinks, and then about 8, start a show that's about 40, 45 minutes, and then after that, go back to eating, drinking, hanging out. I know sometimes when you're in a party, you know, background music is one thing. Like if you have a band that's just playing, but with comedy, you have to kind of be quiet. And mm-hmm. I think that can maybe spoil a mood when maybe people aren't finished with their conversations yet or things like that. But I think if you know that, okay, this is just going to be 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and then, you know, you're going to go back to, you know, just the relaxed conversations of a party. I think that'd be kind of a nice little twist rather than just having people over. Just add a little bit of that comedic element in there. Mm-hmm. And I think to kind of help it out, I'd open with maybe 5 minutes, and then yeah. Have about five friends do 7 to 8 minutes of material. And then call each other up after their sets. I forget what it's the showbiz term for it. Whereas instead of me as the host coming back on and introducing the next person, you as the comic just introduce the next person who's going on after you, and then I would close with maybe 3-4 minutes, and then. Yeah, but I just think that'd be a fun show to do every once in a while, maybe 4 times a year for like whatever the next season is.
Right.
Like to as a way to like end summer and then to end the winter, and I don't know. I just think that'd be a fun show concept. So what were you gonna say?
Well, yeah, I think that would be cool as well for you hosting. I think it would take the pressure off of you by doing it that way, because, you know, when you come up, you have to, like, think of something to say, and because you come up and you're like, next person, and then it's just like, what's even the point? So you usually, like, I feel like the best hosts are ones that, you know, get up and, you know, can get up and say something for, like, a couple of minutes without, like, dragging on too much, and then, or, you know, not even that long, but, like, talk for a little bit and then introduce the next person, whereas this way, I feel like it makes the whole experience a little bit less stressful from a running it perspective, because mm-hmm. you can do your time. You know, obviously you're setting the whole thing up, and then, you know, do your closing, but you don't have to worry so much about the in between.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, it helps with the speeding it up a little bit too.
Yeah.
But definitely if I'm hosting it, I'm thinking of other things anyway. If you're hosting a party, you know, like you're constantly worried about whether or not people are enjoying themselves anyway. So you probably don't want to have to do a lot of joke telling as well.
Right.
I've been to a couple of house shows that seem to go over pretty well. They don't worry about like there's alcohol, but they usually don't worry about feeding you. So that would be another element. Mm-hmm. If I did like a grill out kind of thing. It seems like it's kind of a fun thing, and it also seems like with the house shows I've been to, there have been times where I've noticed that, like, there may not be a lot of people listening to the comics that are performing at that moment. They, people may be off having side conversations. But if you want to listen to the comics, that's cool.
Right.
It's almost as if the comics were the background music, which I think is an idea, too. I mean, I feel like mine's a little different in that I would want everyone to at least stop what they were doing to listen to the jokes. But, I mean, maybe that's not a good model, you know. So, anyway. But you had some ideas, too, with
your... I don't really have anything specific, but I've just been sort of thinking about some of the shows that, you know, that I've been to recently, particularly like the Under One Roof show that you hosted. Like a few weeks
Chris
ago.
Chris Williams, yeah, he produced it and that, yeah.
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 And, you know, I went to that and that was great. And, you know, what it was is comedy, music, and poetry. And then I was also thinking about the show we did together at Crossroads at Trenzalore, which was the Burro Fondo show.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a part of a larger LARPing, live-action role-play sort of event that was like several days. And then it was like one part of that was like, hey, there's comedy for... You know, maybe it wasn't even, maybe like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think so. Andre did like 30 minutes, right? And then there was three, it was me, you, and
Will, is his name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Will. And the three of us had 10 minutes, right? So it was like an hour.
Yeah.
That went really well. So, and those are both in Murfreesboro. So one thing I was just thinking of as far as like how to make it more likely that your show is going to be successful in a place like Murfreesboro is try and attach comedy with something else.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
People were already at the Crossroads at Trenzalore for the LARPing event.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was comedy. And then, you know, so they've been doing LARPing for like, you know, a couple of days. And so I imagine there was something added. There were plenty of people there that wanted comedy, but that's not the main reason they were there. And I think there were probably not a small number of people that were listening and enjoying our sets that were there because they just wanted to like not do LARP stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe just take a break. And then at the Under One Roof show, I mean, I imagine, I didn't ask everybody there, obviously, but I imagine there were people there for poetry and there were people there for the music, but they were still enjoying the comedy and having a good time. So I think for, it's not necessarily like you have to do it this way, but one thing that I think would help for making a show is finding some way to incorporate something that people are already going to come out for.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think that both of those examples were examples of it going really well. I think we know that with comedy and music, it's tricky, right? Like you can't have a music show and then tech on comedy at the end. You have to either do the comedy first or have them like interspersed.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think it's a good thing and it's helpful. I know Wisecrack Productions, which is like a local Southeastern organization that produces different types of shows. Otis, the guy who's in charge of that, and Michael Wyman have teamed up to do something similar to Under One Roof in Nashville, I'll be reading some poetry at it. It's Sunday, but it's poetry, comedy, and ending on music. And I think that's a good idea. I think that would be a fun show to put on to do. Which I'm helping Micah produce one in August. So with the music, poetry, and it would be my first time producing any type of show, but But going back to it, it's I think we as comics tend to think of, all right, we're gonna have like a showcase and get every, you know, get people on it and blah blah, you know. But now it seems like we live in a world where everything is kind of mixed in with everything else. And it's cool that the shows are reflecting that as well, that it's not just all music or all comedy, but like a little mm-hmm. bit of a combination. So that is, I think that's another good, that's a good type of show as well. I think another one that I would like to see, I like the idea of themed shows. So, you know, if it's, like, I think there was a, like last month, two months ago, there was a Mother's Day themed show where it was all or mostly moms mm-hmm. that were performing. And so I think a show that centered around, specific ideas would be fun. I think Huntsville has a pretty strong comedy scene,
mm-hmm.
and it also, a lot of people wouldn't think of this about Alabama, but because there's the Huntsville Space Center, Huntsville has more PhDs per capita than anywhere else in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you would think it would be somewhere like Boston or maybe San Francisco, these places that have these hubs, but I mean, just population wise, more PhDs live in Huntsville. So I think like a theme show that I would like to do as someone who's getting his PhD, like I think it'd be fun to do a PhD themed show where everyone who's performing has a graduate degree of some kind or works in academia in some way, and really gear it towards getting as many of those PhDs, whether they work at UA Huntsville or whether they work for NASA, try to get them in the audience and maybe have it make all the comics and the jokes kind of geared towards that a little bit. I think that'd be a fun idea to do. So that would be another show of mine that I think would be a fun concept
mm-hmm.
to host.
And I think shows that have a theme can also be a fun challenge for the comics that are performing. There's plenty of shows that are just shows that are just like come and make people laugh and tell jokes. Yeah. And that's great. That's important. But there's just a lot of them. So it's an interesting change of pace to be like, you have jokes about whatever it is that you talk about or all these topics. I mean, it depends on the comic, but sometimes the
mm-hmm.
stuff you talk about can be pretty random.
Yeah.
Or even if it's just something you specifically do, it's like, that's a thing you usually do, but now it's a theme show. So you have a challenge to, sit down and like think of something that works within the theme and then come up with something that maybe you wouldn't talk about at another
mm-hmm.
show. And I just think it would be an interesting challenge for comics to have a theme like that.
Yeah, because I think sometimes having a some sort of challenge can kind of get your creative juices going.
Yeah.
Then if you're just sitting down like, okay, I got to write some jokes on, I got to sit down and write jokes on whether it's stuff that's going on in the news, whatever kind of comic you are, whatever
mm-hmm.
you get. But if you have like, oh, I've got this show coming up that's going to be this themed, or have this type of audience, now your writing changes a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And that can be, it can kind of introduce new concepts into your regular routine that wouldn't have gotten there had you not had that bar to hop over.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a good,
for sure.
Good thing, good way to go. I know when you and I have talked about trying to get something going in Murfreesboro,
mm-hmm.
If you had like your like money wasn't an issue, day and time wasn't an issue, what would you want to do in Murfreesboro, performance wise, comedy wise, like in terms of producing something?
In terms of producing something, I'm not really sure. I haven't really thought a whole lot about the specifics of it.
Yeah.
Um, I haven't really produced any comedy shows except for I've hosted, you know, mics and stuff.
Yeah.
And been a part of like organizing those in certain cases. But honestly, I don't know that I have a really big specific image. For me, if I can get people to come out and like tell jokes and have good sets, people to come out and like listen and enjoy themselves, that to me is like, that's pretty, I mean, it's basic, but that's the thing that would make it the most special to me.
I feel like my model for a show to produce would be the place closed, so that's why they stopped having it, but I think they've reopened it, the show, somewhere else. But Courtney Warner's her house shows,
mm-hmm.
I like those because the restaurant was named House. It wasn't at her house for the audience, but it was like, to me, House was it's like a nice restaurant. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, 3 stars, super expensive or anything, but it had a nice little vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it always had a couple local comics, and then it also had out of towners on it. It had like a nice combo of both.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it had a nice chill vibe. There were some chairs up front, and then like they would set up chairs up front, but then there would just be people, and it seemed like everyone was locked in. Everyone there was locked into the comedy. Like there weren't a lot of ancillary conversations going on. I mean, you could mm-hmm. go outside if you wanted to, which right. I noticed a lot of times comics would do that. That would talk on the little porch area.
Yeah.
If you know, rather than be inside, especially if they'd already done their sets. But I like that idea. So I think in Murfreesboro, I think the Alley at Main could be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a nice restaurant. I'd say it's probably price wise a little more expensive than House, but it does have the vibe that I think House had, mm-hmm. where the people there, they're not going to be, you know, rowdy. It's going to be chill. The people who if they know comedy's there that night, they decide to come. There's like a certain level of, there's a certain energy there. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would be good. Like that would be my ideal show to host, I think.
Yeah.
Or to produce, I should say, produce, not host.
Yeah, I think that's like, just since you were talking about it, it made me think of how kind of useful it is to have a space where, you know, if there's like an outside patio or like an outside seating area where people can go to have like conversations.
Yeah.
Because like when you have a show, usually, I mean, what you want, right, is for people to like listen to the comic, but like that's not always going to happen. It's not realistic to expect that. So for everyone. So like having a space where people can go outside and have their private conversations, or not even private, but like just like have their own like side conversations, and they can do it without disrupting the show.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important part of like setting. Just that I thought about what you were talking about it, because there's several places like that in Nashville where I'm just thinking of like people who use it like that, where the show continues to go on, but they can go out and have their conversations.
It's one of the features that just after, as we're talking about it, seems to be important that people need to have a place to go. Obviously if you're in a comedy club, it's very different. But if you're in a non-comedy club,
right,
there has to be another place. There has to be somewhere besides just the main room to where people can interact so that mm-hmm. they're not disturbing things. And then I'd say that would be kind of my main thing would be that type of show. And then I'd like to do it it'd be good to do like once a month, and then have like certain themes when it's appropriate. Today's the July 5th. So could you have, it seems like if let's say there was a show this weekend, even though it's sometimes hard to do a theme show after the holiday, even if it's like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You almost have to do it before where there's that anticipation.
Yeah.
But like if it was like a July 4th type of theme where maybe the jokes talk about kind of are geared around politics in some way or, you know what I mean? Maybe even certain news items. Just or maybe... And not that every joke would have to, but there would have to,
right.
A set would have to have those marks of,
there's
enough there where you could say, okay, this was obviously from a July 4th show or, So I don't know. I think that would be a fun thing to have different themes each.
Yeah.
You know,
that does sound interesting too for, just because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like within comedy, sometimes people have this, people can get annoyed when people go political,
mm-hmm.
when people, you know, start talking about things of that nature because, you know, just the atmosphere that we're in right now, it's just very divisive. And I guess that's kind of how it always is with something like politics. So it can kind of divide the room. And mm-hmm. so, like, if you want everyone laughing, it's a thing that you kind of avoid. At least I do. I try not to talk about it too much. Of course, there's people that do it really, really well. But it would be interesting to have a show that was, like, get political. Like, let's talk about all this stuff that is super controversial. And then it would be an environment where, like, mm-hmm. anything goes because that's the point. Is like, to talk about those types of things that people kind of avoid talking about.
I think that'd be really good.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
Yeah. Maybe we can, we'll talk a little bit about it off air, but I'd like to try to get some stuff going. I think July, I know I'll be more free after, like, today was the last day of my summer class, so I have a lot more time on my hands. Anyway, one more thing to discuss. You had an idea for a show that might work, might not work. Not saying that you want to produce this, but we...
It was just a thing that I had been thinking about because I am a not-so-secret nerd, and I play Magic the Gathering occasionally, which is like a card game. It's like solitaire, but you can't play it by yourself, but it's sadder. And but it's fun, and there's a lot of like places that... like that they sell things like that. And it's not just that because obviously like their shops wouldn't be able to stay open. So they have like a huge variety of things. So like they'll sell comic books, they'll have like Dungeons and Dragons stuff. And they have, like Magic the Gathering and like 20 different kinds of things. And I literally will go to places like that just for like magic, and I don't understand any of the rest of it. I was at a place the other day, and I was just like looking at cards and stuff, just sort of chilling out. And this guy starts talking to me about magic, which is cool. And then he starts talking to me about like this game called Warhammer 40,000, I think is what it's called.
Yeah,
and it's like really complicated, and like he was like going on about it, and I was like not understanding it at all. So my point is like it just brings in a lot of different types of people. So it's there are lots of shops like that, and in a lot of places, there's several in Murfreesboro, and they're kind of like community hubs. Usually, they're owned by one person who just liked those types of things so much he wanted to have a shop.
Yeah.
And so they're mostly locally owned, which is cool because, you know, nowadays everything is a chain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of refreshing that it's just like, you know, that it's just some guy who was passionate about this thing. So he made it for people who were passionate about it like him, which is kind of cool. And like they do a bunch of different things, like tournaments and stuff. And there's certain places that do like D&D campaigns. And I feel like I'm not, like we, like you mentioned, like I'm not sure if it would be a good show because, yeah, honestly, I have no idea. But I was just thinking it might be an interesting concept because of the fact that people are already there. They usually kind of like foster like a type of community. People will show up for like a tournament, but they might get there a few hours early just because they want to like talk and socialize with people. Yeah. So I feel like it might be interesting to have some sort of comedy show there maybe before the tournament or like halfway through or something, just as a way of like taking a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like we've been talking about, like if you can pull something together where people maybe aren't there for the comedy, but they're still going to enjoy it. I think that would help make the show, you know, maybe make it a success. And so, like, I don't know, because it's just a thing it was just a concept I was thinking of, so I'm not really sure if it would be successful, but it could end up being pretty interesting.
Well, I am curious. Now, the tournaments, like, I imagine they're obviously fun to play in.
Mm-hmm.
How about watching them? I mean, if you're, I mean, do, would watching a tournament be interesting or not? Or be interested, or...
I think you have to like the game.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
You know, it's like any spectator sport or any spectator game. Like, I sometimes watch, like, tournaments of, like, video games online, like, occasionally, because, like, I like the game and, like, I can understand what's happening. But, like, the same basic activity of, like, watching other people play a sport, I usually don't get because like I don't understand the game.
Yeah.
And the like things like that, it's like I wouldn't care about spectating if I didn't like doing that thing myself.
Yeah.
So they are good as spec, like they can be fun to watch, definitely, because like especially like if it's getting, you know, a tournament starts and there's everyone's playing and then eventually it gets to where there's just like a few people. Unless, like, they do round robin, but, but, like, games can get kind of interesting because it's something where it can come down to, like, making one wrong move and you can lose the game. So I think that it would be, it is a thing that you can enjoy watching, but you have to, like, you have to, you know, enjoy playing it.
Well, because I know I did, was it last week? Yeah, I commentated on this video game tournament in Murfreesboro.
Right.
The Radical Arts group put it together. And I didn't know what to expect with it, but it was me, Andre Churchwell, and Britt Bear, and also Justin Johnson, who was a bartender at the place. The four of us were commenting on the fights, you know, and we had mics and audience could hear us. And I was wondering if it could also work for something like that.
Yeah.
Or because I mean, I feel like you don't need that much concentration for video games. Like in this, like you can't be quiet. But I don't know. I think card games have a little bit of a different vibe. I feel like you don't want to have people talking. Go ahead.
I think it might be a little bit harder in comparison to something like video games, especially like they were playing what, Injustice 2 at this thing.
Yeah.
So that's a fighting game, first of all, which is like easy to understand. Mm-hmm. I don't play Injustice, but if I watch someone play it, it's like I know what's happening. I don't know all their moves. I don't know the meta. I don't know, you know, combos or, like, what's the strategy for this particular character, but I understand that they're fighting. So, like, that's pretty simple, and Injustice is, like, superheroes, so, like, everyone knows Superman and Batman, so it's, like, cool.
Yeah,
immediately anyone can, like, be like, oh, okay, that's Cyborg, or, like, that's Superman, or whoever.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a thing that I feel like is more easily accessible than something like Magic the Gathering or like these types of events, because in the same way that like I mentioned, this guy was explaining this Warhammer game to me and it totally went over my head, and like I remember him talking to me and I swear to God I spaced out for a second and like came back and he was like still talking and I was like, I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
That would happen if you explained Magic to like someone who just didn't care, because like something, if you understand the game, there's things that like are really cool. Like, oh my God, this guy was attacking and then the other person countered with deflecting palm and ended the game. That sounds cool to me, but like it doesn't make any sense to you, I'm imagining.
Right.
So it might not be as good of a spectator sport for people who aren't a part of that already.
Yeah.
As opposed to like something like Injustice 2 where where anyone could come up and like just be like, well, I don't play this game, but like I know what's happening
immediately.
Right. And you don't know all the technicalities of what they're doing, but you know that they're fighting. So that immediately makes sense and you can get to that. But I think it might be something similar to the Burofondo show we did, because I think LARPing is a type of thing that's like that too, where unless you like it, it's gonna sound lame.
Right.
Or at least like uninteresting, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say lame. But like for me it's a thing that's like, yeah, if you like it, then that's fine. But I don't really get it. But like, it was a good thing in between like different things to have like a break from that at the show that we did. So I feel like for this, it might work like that as well.
Okay.
It's like just like an interim short thing to give people like a palate cleanse from what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Honestly, I have no idea.
I think we could maybe, you know, talk about it off air, but I bet we could try it. I mean, if there are places in, you know, in the area that you maybe have some relationships with, you know. Well, we are at almost 32 minutes, so I feel like this is a good stopping point.
Yeah.
So we will release you, audience members. I'm getting ready to start coughing. Try not to. But we will be back next week with another episode of Nick and Garrett Get Serious About Jokes. I'm Nick.
I'm Garrett.
And we will be here next week for all your listening needs.